One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Loot Crate. Be the envy of your friends and get 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/ghost and enter my code GHOST to save $3 off any new subscription. This is really cool stuff, guys. Check it out at lootcrate.com/ghost and enter our promo code GHOST and save $3 off any new subscription.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, that's what it is. It's Real Ghost Stories Online. Your stories, your calls, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file story over to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, we appreciate any of that social media sharing that you guys do when you love the show. That certainly helps us. The rankings, the ratings, all that fun stuff on iTunes also helps us out quite a bit as well. So if you don't mind, leave a little review. That that helps other folks find the program, and in turn, more people equals a better show. So thank you for all of that. Yeah, Tony and Jenny Bruschi here.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to thank everyone who I sent in a couple weeks back, because I'm still getting bombarded with it. The Return to Oz emails and links and even offers from some folks of actually sending us a copy of that horrid, horrid movie, Return to Oz.
I don't think we'd ever watch it.
It's, I would out of curiosity, I mean, I think you can like stream it on YouTube, really, uh-huh. If I'm right, I'm not sure, but it's, it was a Disney one, so Disney owns it, and it's actually in their movie club, but it's, we mentioned it the other week, and it just, it brought back, I think, a lot of horrible memories for a mm-hmm. lot of people. Other people going, oh my God, I remember that too, it was just so bizarre and weird. I don't know anyone who's ever like really, I think, or heard from anyone yet who's watched that movie and said, oh, that was the best one ever.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's what it was actually a fairly well done movie, but it was just so weird.
Yeah.
It's not that it was a bad quote unquote movie. It was just disturbing, mm-hmm. I think is the right word for it. You walk away from it going, what the hell did I just see? And it's almost like it's more disturbing than some horror movies, I guess I would say.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because it's just so odd. There's so many things that are left field in it. I don't know. Anyway, thank you everyone for filling in the blanks on that. It's funny because I'm sure I'll get messages on that for the next couple of years, just like I still get messages from, I think, it's been probably 2 or 3 years since I've mentioned that one made-for-TV movie that I said I really liked and I couldn't remember the name of it.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody sends me, and I still get messages, like when someone's watching or listening to that episode, just on an old podcast, go, oh, hey, that show you were talking about the other day, this is what it was. Like, actually, it was a couple of years ago. But thank you. I mean, I do appreciate that,
sure,
that very much. It's just, it's kind of funny how podcasts are used.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the old day in broadcast where it's broadcast, you get the response. It's never ending. I mean, the show, it doesn't ever get old. So yeah, you can listen to a show from 3 years ago, and, you know, if you don't look at the timestamp, you don't know how we did it last week or 2 years ago. So anyway, thank you guys for all the responses there. Let's get our first story today at 855-853-4802. And hear a ghost story from Tracy in Virginia. Hi, you're on the show.
Hello, Brewskies. How are you, Tony and Jenny? My name is Tracy, and I'm calling from Roanoke, Virginia. So I have a story. It's about my husband's father, who passed away a little while ago, about a year and a half ago. And so he had cancer. So it was one of those things where we hated to see him go, but we knew it was his time, and we knew he had made his peace, and so he went on. So the other day, I'm sleeping, and I hear these knocks, these four distinctive knocks. And so when I hear these knocks, as I'm sleeping, I rise up because I'm like, who in the world is knocking? I hear my husband in the other room, and he's in the kitchen, actually, and he's mixing some protein type of drink because he's a weightlifter. And so I'm like, well, that's not him knocking. So who in the world could that be? And it was four very distinctive knocks. So when I rise up out of the bed, my husband happens to walk by, and he was like, what are you doing? Like, why are you rising up out of the bed like this? And I never said a word. I never opened my mouth. I didn't say anything. He made a little joke, and he went on about his way. So I laid back down, and I went to sleep. Well, my husband happened to sit on the couch, and he went to sleep as well. I never told him what I heard. I never told him what I thought it was or anything. And as he sat down on the couch and he went to sleep, he dreamt about his father, who has passed away. And he said his dad was sitting in the middle of the floor, and he was looking in a toolbox. And he was like, have you seen my some sort of special tool? And my husband was like, no, Dad, I haven't seen it. And, you know, to him, that dream meant the world, because he hadn't dreamt about his father since his father had passed away. And I just thought it was the most amazing thing that I heard the knock. Never told my husband what it was, and my husband was asleep, and he dreamt about his father. So I don't know if you can use this story on the show or not, but I just thought it was absolutely amazing. And if you can use it on the show, please tell me what you think. You all are amazing. I enjoy your show. I listen to it every day, and I am a proud EPP. Have a great one.
I think that's a story where you have the correlation.
Yeah.
Between the dream and the reality, although not necessarily to the same person, but able to verify it,
mm-hmm,
you know, by the significant other there.
Right. I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that really just kind of sums it up. You got a visit.
Yeah.
It was a legitimate dream visit without a whole lot of questioning. I don't really have any questions about it of, well, what about this? What about that? I think that's what you had.
Mm-hmm.
So timing was correct there,
yeah,
for it all to work out right. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. And thank you for being an EPP. We greatly appreciate that, Tracy. Of course, if you want to be an EPP, you sign up on our website at ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes of the show. Let's go over to Marie and hear your real ghost story. Hi, Marie.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. I am a longtime listener, first time caller. This just happened to me and my friend Rachel. I don't want to use our real names. I am going to be Marie from New Mexico, and I'm here with my friend Rachel. We are both firm believers, and we like to consider ourselves very spiritual, and we like to consider ourselves empaths also. So this experience actually just happened within the last 20, 30 minutes, and we thought it would be a great time to call and to tell you guys our story. So we're both in college, and I am in her dorm room, and we're having a sleepover, and Rachel goes and she turns off the lights, and I just look around the room, and I see this tall, black, huge figure, and the shoulders are hunched over, and the face is huge. It looks like a cross between a human and a wolf. It has long, very long, sharp teeth hanging out of its mouth, and its eyes has a red glint to it. I immediately freaked out. I said, Rachel, can we please turn on the lights? I'm like so scared. My heart's pounding in my chest. People say your heart gets faster and lighter when you're scared, but our hearts were just, it felt like somebody grabbed a sledgehammer and was beating our chest. It was so bad. So I told her what I saw. We left the room to go back to my dorm room to get some sage and to get my Bible that Rachel gave me. When we got to my dorm room, we couldn't open the door. And usually, oh, you know, no big deal. The lock just won't work. I don't know. But because of a previous encounter in my room, we just assumed it was that. I will call in again, I promise, and tell you guys all about the story, because it is just as terrifying as this one, but this one just, it might be worse. So after we couldn't open the door, we freaked out, and instead of coming straight back to Rachel's room, since we knew the thing was in here, we went over to our friend's room, Jeremy, and we had him go try to open my door so we can grab the sage. And as soon as he went down there, he could open the door. So we're not sure if maybe it's just, maybe the door doesn't like us, or if it was that entity that is in my room. And we called a roommate, tried to see if she was there, and she wasn't there, so we knew it wasn't her just holding the door back. It was something else. So the boys got it open, and we were freaking out because we couldn't get the door open, so we thought it must have been because she has this presence in her room, and I have a presence in my room. And yes, long story short, we finally got the sage. We came back to Rachel's room, and we saged her entire room. We said the Lord's Prayer. We wanted to cover all the bases that we can for this time. Once we finally finished saging, we were trying to relax and puzzle ourselves back together when we hear a loud slam. And it turns out it was the bathroom door. And I know what you're saying. Maybe the door was just open and somebody went in and the bathroom, but that's not the case, because it never like that. Because if somebody else opens the door, like Rachel's sweet page, then you can hear the door that they have to open, and then the bathroom door open. There was no squeaking. There was just one loud, huge bang, and it sounded like it was coming from the closet. So now we are both awake, and we're probably not going to go to sleep, so we decided it was the perfect time to call you guys. I will call back in again with my ghost story that I have in my dorm room. Thank you so much for hearing us out. If you have any words of wisdom, we would be so glad to hear it. Thank you again, and Mom, if you're listening, hi. Bye.
Okay, so the door that they couldn't get open, was that the door back to Rachel's dorm room, or was that the door from Marie's dorm room trying to get out? Like, something was trying to keep them in Marie's dorm room so that they didn't go back.
I could be incorrect, but I believe it was a door to get out.
To get out of her dorm to go back to the other one?
Yes.
Okay. I think something was trying to keep them from going back.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think if it were the other door, mm-hmm. like to Rachel's dorm after they went and got their stuff, it's almost like I think it would want you to come in, except for having, you know, the sage and the Bible with them. Maybe that's mm-hmm. part of the reason it didn't want anything to do with it. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe some of that, it was a reason that it was holding it.
Yeah.
Or holding them, rather, mm-hmm. back.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I'd like to hear the other part of the story, the other story that she has mm-hmm. as well, because sometimes the two can kind of go hand in hand and get a better picture of the whole thing.
Sure.
To answer some of those questions. But thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. Don't you hate it when you're out somewhere and you see somebody with a really awesome t-shirt about something that you are really into, or they got some sort of piece of memorabilia from something you're really into, and you go, where can I find that? And you search for it and you can't ever find it. Well, I found that quite often it's because it's coming from Loot Crate, lootcrate.com, where they have all these exclusive, really awesome things that are sent out to their members every month that only their members get. I mean, check this out. In October, we got our loot crate, and it was filled with horror-themed stuff, obviously for Halloween. We got this really awesome Negan Sluggers t-shirt, obviously a connection to The Walking Dead, and it looks like a baseball shirt, you know, Negan on the baseball. It's awesome. Leatherface plush doll was in there. A Camp Crystal Lake pendant. Now, if you're not familiar with that, that's in association with the new Nightmare on Elm Street video game that's coming out, and it's got like blood on the pendant, and it looks totally like this old retro pendant you'd find, you know, hanging in your old bedroom as a kid, except really kind of twisted. Freddy Krueger chopsticks, and there was more. It was just a really, really cool box. For November, they have a new theme, which you're probably going to like. The theme is magical for November. And with that box of stuff, some really cool stuff from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts, and Where to Find Them, Big Trouble in Little China, and so much more. And how do you get this? Well, go to lootcrate.com/ghost. Enter our promo code GHOST. You can save $3 off any new subscription. They have a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, and they search this stuff out, they find it, and they put it in the crates. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. You know how I like kind of obscure pop culture things? That's this in a box. It's awesome. If you want to get fancy, too, you can get even a bigger box with more stuff with Loot Crate DX. So there you go. If you want to get in on the November box, there is a deadline. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe to November's crate. And when it's over, no more crates. So go to lootcrate.com/ghost, enter our promo code GHOST, and save $3 off any new subscription today. That's lootcrate.com/ghost and enter promo code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to Kristen and hear your real ghost story.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Kristen. I'm from New York. I came across your podcast because I wanted to listen to something spooky, and I'm so glad that I found you guys. I recently became an EPP member and enjoy listening to you both while at work. I was listening to a past episode recently. I think it was called Local Haunt, and it was about a girl who had a dream of her boyfriend's great-grandmother who visited her in a dream. And I wanted to share an experience that I had that was similar, and it changed my life. My father passed away in October 27th of 2010. I had always been a daddy's girl, and I often boast about it. Whenever I didn't get my way with my mom, he would bend for me. Anyways, after a few traumatic experiences at home, from a heart attack to a mental breakdown after an incident with a delivery man, I felt uneasy because subconsciously I knew that his days were numbered. He had a series of heart issues, and it just was not a good time for him. About 2 weeks before he died, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was at my friend's apartment in the Bronx, where she lived with her mom. Now, her mom practiced Santeria, In her apartment, you will find statues of saints, of Mary and Jesus, and offerings all over. I was used to this. My grandmother, on my mom's side, had the same similar setup at her apartment. But my mom always told me she wasn't practicing, she didn't believe in witchcraft, that sort of thing. But I kind of felt like she did. Anyways, in this dream, I find myself in that apartment, in the living room, and sitting on the sofa was my grandmother, Carmen. Now, this was my dad's mother, and she had died during the big Northeast blackout of August of 2003. I had always had fond memories with her, because she was a natural-born storyteller, and I had always loved being in her company. But I felt that this was not a normal visit, because the room was dark. In fact, the only light that was there were of candles that surrounded her, the statues, and the sofa. And she wasn't young. It was as if I was a child again, and this was the last image I saw of my grandmother. She looked at me and she said, "I've come to bring Dad home." And I instantly woke up after that. I was in tears because I knew what exactly she meant. I didn't want to come to terms with it. So I rushed into my parents' room and lay next to my dad as he woke up. And I told him that his mom came to me in a dream and she said she loved you. He smiled and he cried. Because my dad, since her death, would always tell me I looked exactly like his mom as he remembered while growing up. And I usually got angry at this because I felt that it was his grief talking. And I didn't want to be compared because I'm me and I don't want to be compared to anybody. But from the little pictures I have of her when she was a young woman, I do have to say the resemblance is striking. Anyways, 2 weeks later, on the 27th of October, I visited my dad at the hospital. He had been recently admitted for stroke-like symptoms a week prior. I visited him every day for a few hours and was excited because he was ready to go home on the 28th. I remember how he looked sluggish, and it was just a somber day, but we kept busy. We spoke of a lot of things, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I was actually preparing for a trip overseas for the very first time, and I told him I was scared, but he told me that, you know, see the world and just do what you have to do. Usually when a doctor would come in, I would leave for the day, and it just so happened the doctor came in moments later for physical therapy for him. But he did something that was unusual. He sat up, getting ready with his walker to do his therapy, and he looked at me, and he looked scared. It was as if he didn't want me to go. And he actually told me to not leave. He told me that he'll be right back. And he had that look of fear. And I never really experienced that with him. Why would he ever look at me in such a way? So, you know, I obliged. I stayed and I waited. He came back 45 minutes later. And he was still looking that way for some reason. And I just knew that my time with him was getting cut short because it was in the afternoon and I had to pick my mother up at the train station. I remember giving him a hug and a kiss, and he kissed my forehead. I remember walking away after saying that I loved him and that I'll see him tomorrow, crying, because that's what I usually do when I was in the hospital with him, when I walked away, because I never knew that this would be the last time that I would see him. Anyways, later on that night, he called my mom upset because the hospital couldn't do much for him anymore, and they wanted him to go to a city hospital, which was hours away. But I just remember just screaming, "I love you, Dad," and he told Mom that he loved us all and that he'll call back later. But he never did, and he died that night around 9:59 p.m. I remember getting to the hospital and just seeing him laying there with his eyes open. And I'm sorry this is morbid or anything, but I just remember closing them because I always felt like in those movies you see of people closing the eyes of their loved ones, whether they be friends or family, you know, being that person to do that. It was just weird that how he was looking off to the corner versus, you know, just looking straight up. Um, I remember getting home that next morning around 2 a.m. and sleeping on his side of the bed, and I fell asleep instantly. I fell asleep to the feeling of somebody rubbing my back. And I knew it wasn't my mom because my mom was distraught, and she kind of, like, with the help of sleeping pills, went to bed that day, that morning, actually. But when we were younger, our father used to rub our backs to make us fall asleep, like a rocking motion. Like, he would do this to me and my other siblings. But I just remember that that was a sensation that I felt on my back. And I was immediately in a dream where I was at the hospital and he was on a gurney and he was covered in a white sheet, but he was alive and he was looking at me, and he was looking at me with sad eyes, and he said that he was so sorry that he had to go. And it was like I've heard before that people get dreams of their loved ones, sometimes not immediately, but it just seemed that for me it was instant, that I knew that he was gonna die because I was warned, and that he came to me first because he knew how hard it was gonna be for me and he wanted me to prepare. So I wanted to share that with you because, you know, it's something that I've never forgotten. Since then, I've had experiences that I'll probably call in or write in for. I've had experiences where other family members and friends of my family have died, and I knew about it the day of, that morning, or there were signs that happened that kind of triggered events. Also, I've also had demonic experiences in the house that I live in now. So much so that I had to get it blessed by my friend's mother, because my night terrors got so bad. And the demonic words, and it was just crazy. Anyways, I wanted to share this experience with you guys, and I want to thank you for giving us an outlet, because I know some of us, like, no one's gonna listen to us in a sense. They're gonna think we're crazy, but, you know, I'm glad that you guys are here for us and letting our stories be heard. So thank you guys so much. We'll send messages, or I will call you guys about those other stories. Thank you.
There's no way that I'd want to be warned when anybody's going to die. How about you?
A nice little text message, maybe.
A text message. No. It sounds like she's sensitive. Maybe she doesn't know that she's sensitive, but anybody that gets messages like that ongoing, mm-hmm. I think, definitely that had some kind of sensitivity level there.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, it's not a sensitivity you necessarily want either.
No.
Is that like a level beyond just knowing about or being able to sense ghosts? Being able to, that's almost like foretelling things.
I think so, because, like, I can just sense energies, but mm-hmm. I, you know, rarely see anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people that only see things, and then there's people that they know things, and mm-hmm. it's kind of like it just progresses.
It's like if just being sensitive to ghosts is a whopper, this is like the triple whopper. You can it's that much more goodness, or not goodness, but flavor, if you will.
Okay.
Of the other side.
You know, sometimes talking to you like is like between two ferns. It just really is.
How so?
Just because you're just so random.
I like to compare things to Burger King products.
Uh-huh.
But not the chicken fries. I've never really compared anything to a chicken fry yet.
They have, like, Cheeto-crusted chicken fries now, which just sounds terrible to me.
I bet if you tried it, you'd love them.
No.
I have to say, I did try the Whopper-rito.
And?
Yeah.
No.
Not such a great idea. Okay. In concept, okay. In taste, yeah, I don't think that's gonna last. Mm-hmm. It's funny. It's a restaurant where you go to it, and there's always like kind of a random menu item. You go, what? I didn't know they had tacos at Burger King.
Yeah,
they did. I think, I don't know if they still do, but for a while there was like tacos on their menu.
I heard they were good.
It's like, why on earth do you have a taco? But
yeah,
I don't know. I've never even seen one. I just saw it said taco. I've never seen anyone order one or if it's just like a myth, it's like, oh, sorry, we're out of that, you know, no matter what. But it's just, it's up there. It's just like, it gets you talking about the place. Mm-hmm. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Shelby, hi.
Hi, guys. I'm Shelby. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. And I have three stories for you guys. First of all, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary friend that was very, very real. She sort of seemed like she may have been from the late Victorian, early Edwardian age. And at the time, I didn't think anything of it because I was about 5 years old. And it wasn't until recently that I realized that she fit kind of the time period of the Chicago Iroquois fire. And I don't live far from that theater. But my three ghost stories have to do with my time in college and right after I graduated. So I went to Columbia in Chicago, and it is in the area of Chicago that burned down in the Chicago fire. So the city's literally rebuilt on its ashes, which I'm sure makes for a lot of ghosts. But I lived in a building that had once been a factory and then was turned into a printing press and now is an apartment building. I lived with three other girls. And things started off small, like knocks on the wall. And one night I was there by myself. I woke up the next day. I thought my roommate had come home because I heard somebody in the kitchen, just sort of the run of the mill, like sink turning on, dishes up and down kind of thing. So I texted her, "Hey, come hang out in my room." And she sent me a text back saying that she had been helping her sister move into her apartment all day. So I was there completely by myself. Next thing that happened was a lot of lights turning on and off. Every morning I would go into the bathroom, turn the light on, plug my straightener in, and then go back to the kitchen to make coffee. I have the earliest classes, so everybody else was still sleeping, and I would go back into the bathroom, my straightener would be unplugged, and the light would be off. And this happened pretty frequently. And the last two things that happened were pretty weird. So two of us in the apartment were named Shelby. And one of the days I got home from class, I thought I was by myself. And I kept having this feeling as though I heard someone saying my name. But it wasn't audible. It was more sort of in my head, but I could still hear it, if that makes sense. And it kept happening over the span of like 10 minutes. And finally, the last one was very loud and my roommate's door opened and I turned my head and she poked her head out and said, "Did you just say my name?" So we both had that same feeling of someone saying Shelby over and over again. And finally, me and the same roommate were going to watch a movie one night, and I turned to ask her what movie she wanted me to put on. And when I turned to look at her, someone yanked my hood of my sweatshirt so much that I actually had to like step backwards from the force of it. And I thought I was crazy for a second, but I looked at her face and she was white as a ghost because she saw my sweatshirt actually move when it was tugged. So that's what happened there. The other incidents from college were I went on a trip to Los Angeles to visit a friend, and I got very sick, and me and my friend were sleeping in her roommate's bed, and she woke up in the middle of the night. I was very sick, so I was sleeping, but she saw a woman in white over me doing some sort of prayer thing. I'm not quite sure what. I'm kind of glad I didn't see it because it probably would have freaked me out. And then finally, before I moved from my last apartment, my boyfriend and I were sleeping, and I had both my knees up lying on my back, and somebody hit my thigh about like as hard as they could, so much so that I looked over to my boyfriend to see if he was awake, and he was turned the opposite direction from me, and no way he could have reached over and done that. But yeah, I have a few other stories, but I think I'll write one in because a couple of them are sort of historical things, so I think they'll kind of fit better in a little writing piece. But thank you guys, and I love your show.
It just sounds like something was using all of its energy just to get your attention, you know? Mm-hmm. Almost like how a kid, you know, mom starts yanking on you, mom.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds like it was just dying, no pun intended, for you to notice it. And I don't know if it could tell that you could tell or what the deal was.
Or what
that.
If it just had the mentality of a kid? Maybe it was a kid.
Could be.
You know, and it's still operating with that mindset, you know,
yeah.
of yanking on the clothes. That's pretty creepy. It's one thing when you have, you know, experiences where someone says, you know, I felt a yanking or mm-hmm. something. But it's a whole other when you're the person on the other side and you say, like, what the hell just happened there?
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? You know, that just really verifies it even more.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I don't know what's creepier or who it's creepier for, the person who felt the yanking or the person who saw that. You know?
I think maybe the person who saw it, because there's no explaining it if you saw that.
Yeah. I mean, you can almost write off, you know, or not be as creeped out. You feel like a yank or something. Like, I don't know what that was. You just kind of move on.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're actually seeing and witnessing the event, that I agree. I think
yeah.
it's the person. So, thank you for the story. Our number is 855-853-4802. Let's go to Jessica. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jessica from Pennsylvania. I figured I would try to do a recording this time. Because I have two stories to share with you, and I'm not really sure it's going to be short enough to fill by if I do a phone call. I don't know if that even made any sense. First one is mine. The second one is a friend of mine. Mine is very short. It's a Ouija board story. I was waiting until October to send this, and it's actually a good one. It's not a bad one. It's not evil or anything, so here we go. Back when I was in college, my roommate and I, we believed in the paranormal, and we wanted to make our own Ouija board. We didn't have one, so we made one. And we would talk to it every now and then, ask it, you know, the same stupid questions, whatever. Well, we were both in art school, and I had just had a test that day in my art history class. So I said, hey, what grade did I get on this test today? And it didn't go to like A, B, C, or D. It actually gave me a number. It went to the 9, and then it went to the 4. And I went, okay, 94, that's awesome. Oh, excuse me. So I said, all right, whatever. So we talked a little while longer, and we said goodbye, ended the session, that was it. I think it was 2 days later I went to class. We got our test back. And I looked at my test paper, and sure enough, 94 was on the top of the page, and I lost it. It took every amount of willpower I had not to freak out right there in class. So when I ran back to my dorm and I was like, you are not going to believe what just happened. I showed my roommate and she was like, what? Whoa. I said, yeah, crazy. So that's pretty much the craziest thing that ever happened with the Ouija board. I don't use it anymore. I haven't used it in, I can't even remember the last time I used a Ouija board. The one that I have, I actually turned it into a Halloween decoration. So I E6000, the planchette to the board. If you don't know what that is, it's a very high quality glue. It ain't going nowhere. So if that thing moves, there is some force behind it. my friend's story. This happened just actually about a month ago. My friend asked me not to say her name, so I'm going to call her by her cat's name, Salem. Every year, there's a large group of us. And by us, I mean me and friends of mine that I meet down there. We go to Georgia every single year for a convention. And unfortunately this year, right before we were supposed to leave, a very dear friend of ours passed away in a car accident. Her name was Danny. And I don't know if you just heard that. I had a bag of pretzels and it fell off of my lap, so it was not an EVP. She passed away hours before we were supposed to leave to go to this thing. And it was tragic. You know, she was 29 years old. She just had her birthday. And it was heartbreaking for all of us. Well, My friend Salem had two things happen to her that weekend that we can only explain by Danny was with us. She was there. Number one, Salem was in a costume group. It was for Game of Thrones. And she had made a crown for her costume and she lost it. Devastated. Just devastated that she lost her crown. And she was going back to her hotel with a couple of her friends, and they were going through another hotel, and the crown was sitting on like a windowsill right next to a security guard, and she was like, "Oh my God, that's my crown! Who turned it in?" And the security guard looked at the crown and said, "I didn't even know that was there. That was not there a couple minutes ago. I have no idea where that came from." So they were like, wow. So the second story that happened to Salem that weekend was she had lost her convention badge. Now, some conventions, that's not that big of a deal. With this particular one, it's a huge deal. If you lose your badge, you can't get into anything. Nothing. Nothing. It's terrible. So she was like, are you kidding me? So she goes back to her hotel room. I don't know if she went to bed for the night or if she went to take a nap. I don't know which one it was. But either way, she went to sleep. She woke up a little later, and on the end table next to the bed was this stuffed sheep that she takes everywhere with her. And tucked next to the sheep was her badge. And she knows for a fact that badge was not there. And her roommates have no idea how it got there. So we were absolutely convinced that Danny had something to do with that. Like I said, it was a very emotional weekend for us. And especially for Salem, you know, losing our friend the way we did, it was very heartbreaking. So we figured, she said, you know what? I'm going to this convention and no one's going to stop me. I'm going anyway. I'm done. So we truly feel that she was there with us that weekend. I hope you guys have an amazing Halloween and rest of your October. Like I said, I shared the Ouija board story because it's Ouija Awareness Month. Don't play with Ouija boards, kids, because you never know who you'll be talking to. So I hope the stories find you well. I hope you enjoyed them. And I'm going to be sending in some more stories here soon. I'm going to actually write them down so that I can send them in so Tony can read them. But so it was good to call in to you guys again, and I hope this makes it on the air. See you later, guys. Bye.
The moral of the story, never trust a stuffed sheep.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, with asking a Ouija board to get a response that's actually, you know, appropriate for what you asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know how she asked for the test score? There's literally a 99% chance that was going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's not good.
Yeah, I think it's a good cautionary tale.
It is a good cautionary tale.
For Ouija Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we should just compile all the Ouija stories. That right there, there's a concept for a book of some sort.
Yeah.
Cautionary Tales of Ouija Boards.
That would be good.
And it's illustrated like the Dwight Schrute, the Cautionary Tales for Children from The Office. We could have our children illustrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, honey, we need you to draw a picture today, and it's some horrible scene. You'll probably be using a lot of this red marker. It'd be great. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to Liz. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Liz. I have a story that I want to share with you guys about my cousin, Alan. And this might be kind of emotional, so just bear with me. Alan was about maybe 15 years older than I was. So growing up, we have a pretty small family, and he was always kind of around. And, you know, when I got older, we started becoming closer. And about 10 years ago, Alan killed himself. He had gone through a divorce, and he was having kind of a hard time with it, and chose to end his life. While, as I said, Alan and I were fairly close at the time that he killed himself, even though I was still pretty young. And I remember my mother coming into my room very early in the morning to tell me, and she was very, very upset. And I remember waking up and seeing her and knowing what had happened before she said anything, because I had had a dream about it. And I already knew that he was dead because I had seen it in my dream. I already knew that it had happened. Well, in the time that followed, I had several dreams about Alan. And the first dream that I had right after he died was the number 12 over and over again, kind of like black. And then the numbers 12 were large and small, and they would kind of pulse and fade in and out. And they were all these different colors. It was very soothing. It kind of reminded me of, I guess they're like light, bright screens, you know, where it's really dark and then you have the really pretty colors. And I looked it up later, and what I found said that 12 is actually supposed to be a comforting number. It's even. There were 12 disciples. It's supposed to be a very healing, very comforting number. Well, I went on to have more dreams about Alan. I'm fairly sensitive. I've written into you guys before. And when I dream about dead people, they don't ever talk to me. And in my dreams, that's how I know that they're real, when they don't say anything. Well, in the first dream that I had with him, I was showing him a house, and it was a house that I had looked at before with some friends, and was telling him where everything would go in this house. And I remember him, you know, just kind of being there. It almost felt like he was humoring me. The second dream that I had of him, I saw that how he killed himself, and was very upset by it, and then was in a stadium all alone, like a football stadium. And I turned around and he was there with me, and I told him, "Oh my God, I'm so glad that you're here. I thought that I had lost you, but you know, you're right here." And he just looked at me, and I knew, you know, he wasn't really right there. And you know, I talked to one of my younger cousins, as a side note, with the stadium. We're all very sensitive. She had a friend that died in a car accident, and I was telling her, you know, that in my dreams, dead people don't talk. And she said the hairs on her arm stood up, and she had a dream about her friend that had just died, and they were in a stadium all alone. And she was so excited to see him, and she said he just sat there looking at her, and he never said anything. The third dream that I had with Alan, I was at an old train station, which is funny. Alan lived in Texas, and when he was going to high school, he was very much a cowboy. So he would wear cowboy hats to school, and people called him Garth when he would walk up and down the hallways. And he was with me at this train station, and it was kind of dilapidated. And I remember him being dressed in black, and we were standing there waiting for the train. And I remember being upset and kind of crying in the dream, because I knew that when he got onto the train, he was not going to come back. And I remember him dancing with me and hearing the train coming. And then that was it. And I've never had a dream with him since. But after that had happened, he and I would often chat with each other on Yahoo Instant Messenger. And it was a really big thing. And Yahoo was trying to push this new feature where you could send voicemails to each other over the internet and through your email. And he had been dead at this time, maybe 6 months. And I got a new message in my inbox, and it was from Alan. And there's no, I deactivated his email account. There was no way that he could have sent that to me. Like, no way a person could have sent that to me. And it was one of those voicemails. And I thought, oh my God, maybe somehow he sent it before he died and it was just lost and came through 6 months later. And I opened it and it was about 30 seconds of silence. There was nothing. But I remember trying to do everything that I could because I was just convinced that there was some audio on the other side, and I was so freaked out that this audio file from Alan had sent itself to me. And he had a favorite song by AC/DC, and it would, I remember the day he died asking for some sign that he was okay, and his favorite song came on the radio channel I was listening to. And every now and then, when I think about him or if I wonder about him, that song will come on the radio around the same time that I start wondering. So, I know that it's him. And like I said, we were fairly close. But I just wanted to share that with you. And sometimes, I feel like it's kind of reminding us that he was here. And, I just wanted to share that with you guys. So, thanks for your show and thanks for all that you do. Bye.
Okay, to me, the most striking thing about that call was the reference to the stadium. Because I don't know how far back it was, but we had somebody either write in or call and say that whenever they dreamt and were having a visit with somebody that they loved that had passed away, that it was like a stadium full of picnic tables and it was people visiting their loved ones. So that's just so odd that that would also be mentioned in this call too.
It's the same sort of setting.
Yes.
That it's like, oh, maybe there is something to this.
Maybe there is a stadium in the sky where we visit our loved ones. Isn't that crazy?
I wonder, do they have ballpark hot dogs at these things? Or?
Oh, I hope so.
Wonder what they serve. Hopefully it's good stadium food. Isn't that great? My concern is not like exactly, well, how do you get to visit the loved? Like, how do you get tickets to the stadium? Or it's more so,
well, what am I going to eat when I'm there?
I wonder what the concessions are like at that stadium.
No, it just, that really struck me because that's not the first thing you think of when you think of visiting
somebody
in your dream.
Not at all. It's very interesting where you have that in two completely separate stories, you know, assuming they don't know each other at all, but have the same setting.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll get more of that over the years.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, that's odd. The very bizarre settings for things that don't seem to, that seem kind of out of place or like a weird interpretation of something, but multiple people having it for the same sort of thing. Very, very odd. Thank you for sharing your experience with us, even though it was very difficult. We do greatly appreciate that. Thank you guys for being listeners to our show. If you like it, please become EPP. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. That's where you get all the bonus episodes of the show. Hundreds of them are up there. There's like 110 plus EPP episodes. All the stuff that fell off of iTunes, hundreds of those there. And exclusive video content and more. That's what keeps this thing on the air. It's only $5 a month, and you can binge away on just the best ghost stories we got. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.